I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome back to the Boundary Pointer Podcast, along with my partners Brian Siegler and Jonathan Talley. I am Curtis Wilson, and this episode is brought to you by Dr. Jeremy Counts at the Main Street Pharmacy, your friendly neighborhood pharmacy in Blacksburg, 301 South Main Street. Man, four in a row.
Four in a row, man. It's like almost we're in season.
I mean, that's the way it feels, man. But we're wrapping up spring ball. Got a great interview tonight. Going to talk a little portal stuff. We have all been busy as heck, as is our guest tonight. I got to catch my breath. I mean, usually I'm like in here 20 minutes before we get to chill. Everybody rolling here about 2 minutes before we go live.
Working, man. Everybody that's a good thing, though. That's what we do, man. That's why we're here.
That's that time of year, man.
We're here for the people. We know it's the off season, but as we say, it ain't no off season, baby.
No off season at all. Well, tonight, folks, if you didn't get to see the marker and you're just joining us, we do have a very special interview with a young man who is hoping over the next, 5 days, because it's Tuesday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He hears his name called for the NFL draft. He comes to us by Nansemond River High School, Suffolk, Virginia. Number one in your hearts, number zero in your programs as a 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, defensive tackle for Darius Payne.
Hello, how y'all doing? Thank y'all for having me.
Thanks for coming on, for Darius. How you been doing?
I've been doing good overall. Just a lot of time management over these past few weeks.
Love it, man. Love it. We're going to talk about that later, but we really appreciate you taking some time tonight to jump on with us, not only to talk about what's coming up in your future here in the next few days, but just kind of give a little background on who you are, your time with the Hokies, you know, little stories, ins and out like that. So, again, we really appreciate you taking the time tonight. And I'm going to kick it off with this. Coming out of high school, you went the JUCO route. And you went to a JUCO that is a powerhouse, Lackawanna College up in Pennsylvania. The 2 years you guys were there, 21-1, you had some really good seasons collecting, you know, sacks, tackles for loss. How do you feel that going to a JUCO helped with your development coming out of high school?
I feel like JUCO really helped me fundamental-wise. Like, Coach Duda, he's a very well-known coach in the JUCO world and in the football world in general. Like, if I go somewhere and I say I was at Lackawanna under Coach Duda, they say, yeah, we know who that is. And him being the D-line coach and the head coach, he started at ground one and was really building it up. And we didn't have what probably any division have. Like, we I don't even think we had a sled, if I'm be honest. But the stuff we did was – it was very good. That I believe it helped me a lot.
Awesome. I love hearing that because, you know, it is one of those things you had to make a decision on coming out of high school because, you know, I couldn't tell you all your offers. I'm sure you had places to go that you could have, but going that route, and again, like you just mentioned, I love hearing that somewhere you went somewhere like that that helped fundamentally. Obviously, you learned that winning mentality down there, and it's awesome to hear that.
Yes, sir.
Definitely, man. So, y'all didn't introduce him quite right, man. When you introduced him, you're supposed to call it Major Pain. Major Pain. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody seen what he did when he on the field. He's out there wreaking havoc. You know, we talked about, you know, you in high school, you coming out of high school, went the JUCO route. And then I think, you know, most people from local people know who you are. Now you get on the big stage. You start getting recruited, commit to Nebraska. You go up there. Now, why you were being recruited? Looks like you were recruited a little bit by Penn State. Now, did you ever run into Coach Pry while you were being recruited by Penn State when he was there?
Oh, yes. I ran into him a few times, and I feel like we should have. But I'm happy it did happen when it did.
Now, you broke up just a little bit. You said, what happened now?
Oh, we ran into each other a few times, and I feel like I should have played under his scheme a few times, and I'm happy that I did end up under his scheme, his play style, and under his philosophy.
Well, man, I don't know about nobody else, but I always say it's always God timing. You know, I ain't trying to push nothing on nobody else, but that's just what I say. And I'm glad you did not go to Penn State. They got some weird shit going on up there. I'm glad Coach Pry is away from them. I'm glad that you came home where you belong. So, God's timing, man. We're glad that you and Coach Pry did meet and then finally link up with Virginia Tech.
Yes, sir. It's time to never wrong.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
It's true.
Was during that second recruitment, were you ever contacted by Virginia Tech at that point, or was it more like the relationship with Coach Pry that kind of ultimately led to that recruitment down the road?
Really, I believe just talking to Coach Pry. So, like, when I hit the portal?
Yeah, well, when you first were getting recruited by Nebraska, did Virginia Tech reach out to you during that period, or did you not really hear from Virginia Tech until Coach Pry took over?
They sent me, like, a camp letter, I had, like, one letter from them, but I never heard anything physical from them or never reached out. So, I didn't take it as, like, real interest or anything. So, it was just... Yes, yeah, but I did receive, like, I believe it was like a camp letter.
Well, we're gonna say it wasn't you. We had some weird stuff going on at that time, you know what I'm saying? So don't even worry about it, but that's okay though. Next, I guess, this is kind of off script. When we was talking earlier, we kind of asked you about some shout outs, man. I feel like you need to give a shout out to your hairdresser, man. Because I told you, I said every time I see you, you know what I'm saying, you got the locks coming from under the helmet. They always looking fresh. So who keep you looking like that?
My sister. She does a pretty good job of keeping me up to date. Even if she come up like a game day weekend, we'll probably play Saturday and she'll stay through Sunday just to give me a nice little retwist and make sure I'm A-okay.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
That is what's up.
Yeah, man. She's taking good care of you. I like to hear that. You said she's kind of the one for the whole family too, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, she do it all. She's a jack of all trades, and she does everybody here. But the only person she can't do is her own. I know that kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
That's right. All right, so we're going to talk about a little bit of your time at Nebraska here real quick. You know, when we look at the fan bases of Nebraska and Virginia Tech, you know, you got to see a little bit of similarity. They're very passionate fan bases. Kind of both of those fan bases, and you know, always good stadium noise there. But I want to talk a little bit about that 21 season, because that seems to be a season that, like, is an anomaly in college football, because that team had 9 losses, but none of them by double digits, 8 of them by less than a touchdown. That's got to be a frustrating season to endure, because, like, you're that close to being, you know, taking a step there, and it's like you just can't quite get over the hump.
Yeah, so yeah, like, so beginning of the season, like during camp and like even during the COVID season, I'm like, when we got off the COVID season going into next year, I'm like, this is a national championship team right here. That's what I was thinking. And then come the season, we're losing to a number 3 Ohio State team by like a field goal, or losing to a very good Ohio State team I'm a Michigan team by losing to both of those teams by a field goal or a touchdown. I'm like, man. And then we would be real close to Illinois the first game. And I'm like, oh, we got this. And then we end up falling off. And it's all off of like, it'll be like one crazy play. Like, we'll be having a good game. And next thing you know, boom, kickoff return, last second. It's like, what can we do?
That's got to break your spirit. I mean, it's says something about the makeup of the team that, you know, throughout the whole season, you kept keeping them close games. Because, like, at some point when they start stagging themselves, that's, you know, keeping the locker room together has got to be a big deal there.
Yeah, definitely between because you practice a lot, between all the meetings, and you, like, so many heartbreaking losses. It just
– yeah.
It was very tough, but I'm happy that team, we stuck together. You know, the outside noise from fans and opposite teams and just the whole entire country can get. So.
Yeah, I know sometimes, like, you know, you were talking about the meetings and stuff like that. Like, at some point, there's only so much you can talk about, you know, getting over the hump. And, like, you just, like, every week, it's like you hear the same thing. You got to try to say it in a different way or keep that motivation in a different way. So I'll be a testament to that team and that squad for being able to stick it out and play tough, you know, from game one all the way to game 12 there.
Yes, sir, yeah. You should have heard the post-game speeches because you can't change up the post-game speech by so much. You playing elite teams and only losing by this much. It's like, oh, we this close, but this close, don't ever get the job done. But
yeah,
it was a great coaching staff, great players, but I feel bad for, like, just the coaches because – we put in a lot of work. The players put in a lot of work, but sucks to see coaches, like, don't get out what they put in.
I hear that, man. Yeah, so much of it is so much. It's a ton of work, and you guys giving complete effort, complete buy-in, and then that type of season happened where it's like, what did we do wrong? One fluke play, one weird something happened in multiple games. You know, one of those things, I'm sure it's like we get outplayed. Hip your hat. They were better than us today on the field. Some of the things that happened that season, in my life, I've never seen. I've been watching college football since I was like 8 years old. I've never seen a season like that. But I'm going to get off that because the right thing happened. As ago, God's plan happened. You get into the portal in 2022. And obviously, as you just mentioned, you had some connections with Coach Pride during your JUCO recruitment at Lackawanna before you went to Nebraska. But other than coming home, coming back to the state of Virginia, what else was the sell to Coach Pry at that point in time to get you to effectively, you know, commit to the Hokies, sign the letter, and show up in Blacksburg in January 2022?
It wasn't much of a pitch. I know what Coach Pry is about. I know his scheme. When I found out he was running the same, like, not the same as that scheme, but doing what he does, and his style of play, it wasn't much talk. Like, I committed pretty early. Like, it wasn't nationally known that I committed early, but it wasn't many talks before I told him. It probably was, like, the first two talks I told him. I'll go out to Blacksburg and see what it's – because I'm from Virginia, but I've never been to Blacksburg. So I just told him, like, I'll come see there, but I'm basically committed. Like, I know what you're about. I know how you are as a coach. And, yeah, that's basically it. It wasn't – he didn't have to sell me nothing.
Love hearing that.
Yep, definitely, man. So, you know, we riding the wave. You know, you coming home, you're coming back to the state of Virginia. Fans are excited because we getting some Power 5 help to come in here in a place of need. You know, we got Mr. Payne going to be holding it down for us. And then adversity hits, you know, mid-July, you get injured. You know, a pretty gruesome injury. You know, you tear your Achilles. What helped you stay motivated when you did that at that point in your career?
Just knowing I had a lot to prove, a lot to gain, and just really put my head down and work and just figure, like y'all said, how we said, God never makes a mistake. So I'm just thinking, I did think, like, dang, why me? But I wasn't. You guys, anybody, like, throughout that period, I was still smiling, walking around, because at the end of the day, he doesn't make any mistakes. What's meant for me is what I get. So That's how I carried it in. I believe it helped me throughout the time, and just knowing that I was gonna come back for another season. I'm not dead. I'm living. So
yeah,
living. So it could be a lot worse. That's how I look at it.
Well, man, listen, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm 38 years old, and I was walking down the road and strained my Achilles, and I felt like I was dead. So if you tore yours and you were still smiling, hey, you a bad man. That's right. You a bad man. I'm talking about, I'm still struggling with it. It's been like 2.5 weeks. And this man, that thing be tender. It'd be hard to put any weight on it. So yeah, man, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, injuries are crazy because they can really like it's not just the physical. Sometimes it's the mental piece too, like just keeping your spirits up, making sure that you're doing the right things in rehab, not rushing the rehab too much. Because you know, mentally you're like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm starting to feel better. I'm ready to go. But like making sure you're going through the process and making sure you're not missing a step in that process. So it's a lot of mental in there along with the physical. But you know, let's talk about that comeback though, because everybody loves a good comeback, right? All right, so it's a major injury. It's a long rehab. You start the season, probably not 100% at that point, I'm guessing. You're still kind of working yourself back into football shape, right? But then we get to Pitt, and we get to Marshall. That I feel like that's when you really started making a big impact on the field again. It looked like you really got your legs back under you. What was the most difficult part of kind of ramping back up after your injury? And at what point did you start feeling like yourself again?
Really that Marshall game is when I started feeling like myself, and just overall, it was just, I don't think it was too hard getting back into the game, cause I was just so happy, cause at the end of the day, I just loved this game. So I was, it felt like a little kid just playing football, if I'm gonna be honest. So it was nothing that was too terrible. Like the worst part was coming back, like doing mat drills and spring ball. Cause that's when it was like, early run. It was a crazy experience, but
yeah,
just getting used to this D tackle position, and because I never played D tackle at this level until I got here, so it was just getting used to the D tackle. That was probably the biggest thing I had to get used to after coming back off of the injury, because that's like battling two different things. But I was just happy to play, and I was just smiling, just getting on the bus, because a year ago I was ODU, had my feet kicked up in one of the old teammates' apartment, and just watching the game. And I'm like, dang, like we supposed to be at the game. So I was just happy.
I mean, I love hearing that, because you talk about playing like a kid, and it impresses me even more to hear you talk about learning how to play D tackle, because let's be realistic here. Not only did you have a coming out party against Pitt, the whole team did, because you could have fooled us that you didn't know how to play defensive tackle before then. Because I mean, rushing the passer, shooting gaps, causing disruption in the backfield, causing tackles for loss. And let's look at that game, particularly the Pitt game, because that game, it changed a lot for you. Your rotation got heavier. You started playing a lot more, but it changed a lot for the team. Like, that was that game. I think us three sit here after that game and said, something's happened. Something's happened with this team. And it was something. Did anything happen ahead of that game, or was it just all the building blocks Coach Prime and the coaching staff had been talking to y'all, and it came together and came to fruition?
Before that? Was it Marshall? Did we play Marshall the week before that?
The Marshall was the week before that, where y'all defensively, y'all had an unbelievable game. And then that next week was Pitt. Y'all go in 1-3. And I mean, you could have fooled us. We were running, the Hokies were running 3.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Marshall game, y'all saw how it ended. It was a very like tough loss. So going into that week, it was just more of like, let's do what the coaches said. They always put out a layout. It was pretty good coaching. So we just followed their layout that week and really just stuck to it throughout the week, hit stuff a little bit harder, and really it was really just following the coach's lead and doing what we were supposed to do from the jump. Because I believe that game, I think the running game, they might have had around 200 yards rushing, I believe, mm-hmm. or it was something amazing. And then the defense, we were just playing all 11 hats of the ball, just flying around. And you could just feel the energy on the sideline before the game. You could just feel like, we're here, we're coming.
Man, yeah, I love hearing that.
Yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Well, I was just saying, I love hearing that it was just like, after that Marshall loss, it wasn't how did we lose that game? We played good when we lost that game. It mm-hmm. was, no, we're going to hit it harder. We're going to go mm-hmm. harder. We're going to focus on what our coaches are telling us. And
Curtis, you know what I like most about that game?
What did you like most about that game?
I like that 38 rushing yards total for Pitt.
Oh, that's what I like about that game. Yeah. Well, the major pain on here with us was the guy getting that backfield. And that's why he couldn't run. All right. Before we get to the road to the draft, I got to ask a question because I came up, I watched you in the Military Bowl. I was soaked. I had a great time. But we all know about the gift bag. We all know y'all get the – what was the coolest thing at the Military Bowl y'all got?
It might be between the – we got this jacket on Christmas, and it was like a black and gray camouflage jacket with the VT. It's probably one of the best – probably the best thing I've had my whole entire college career, like gear wise, and just me. The Air Force Ones was just beat the Air Force Ones when you just get those for playing football at the end of the day. Like, it's a reward, but it was nice seeing those.
Man, so I got kids, man. I got an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old, and when they get the Air Force, like when we got shoes, we just put them on and walk. Do you walk funny so you don't crease yours?
Yeah, no, the whole entire time, because we did multiple events in them, and I remember we was going to the bowling alley, yeah. And I was like, because we got off the bus, and I'm like the third, fourth bus, and we had to walk down, and there was some dirt beside, and I'm like, I gotta walk this certain type of way. I usually put like, I don't do this to my Air Force Ones, but I usually put like these crease enforcers so mm-hmm. that my shoe don't crease. But it was just. It was
that's what I was about to say, because usually y'all got the crease enforcers, but if you got them while you was there, I'm like, did you have them? How did you manage when you out here walking around in this dirt and grime and all of this stuff? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's a big deal. All of the listeners, man, if you don't know about, do your homework on having Air Force Ones and getting them dirty, increased. Do your homework on that.
After that, they basically done.
It's so. Over with. It's yeah, over with. You get a crease in Air Force One. It ain't nothing to them but a clean white shoe. If you get a crease in them, you got to go buy a new pair. So, hey, if y'all know what Air Force Ones, y'all need to contact Mr. Payne. He's going to tell you how to keep them clean and not crease.
There we go.
All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit.
You can't have no dirty forces, man. No dirty forces.
You can't have no dirty forces, man.
No creases, no dirty. Okay, got it.
Dirty forces is a big no-no. So, we're going to shift gears a little bit, man. We're going to talk about some important stuff. So, we had a little bit of a postponement in getting to meet you and talk with you, which is awesome because, you know, Travis informed us that you had some visits to go to. Because, I mean, we just some old guys sitting at home going to work every day. Hey, you're a young man. You getting ready for one of the biggest things in your life, man. You getting ready for the NFL draft. So, congratulations, number one. We was told that you were out, you know, doing some visits. So, how did that go, if you don't mind us asking?
I really enjoyed the experience and seeing different things in different cities, and just overall it was fun. And I know one of the days I had to wake up like super early, but overall, like I can't complain. I'm blessed. Like just waking up at 5:30, but I'm still at this NFL team. A lot of people, even in this process, don't get to do that. So it was just an amazing experience to see how some of the other NFL players live. Got to sit in one of the NFL D-line meetings, and I like met some good D-line, and I was like, yeah, I could live this lifestyle, get used to watching this film, breaking it down with these guys, talking this different type of language, and just enjoy the experience.
Yeah, we saw some tweets out there. Was the Giants one of the stops you made there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was. Yes, sir. Yeah, I enjoyed the Giants. It was a good facility, good people. So, yeah, it was nice. The food was good up there.
There we go.
Nice. Yeah, the food was real good.
Like I told you, man, it's too cold up there. You ain't trying to go up north. Hey, I told you where you need to be. If that's what happened, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to buy a jersey. That's all I'm going to say.
There you go.
Let's take it to the pro day, because that was a big day for you too, right? So, like, we had you, they had you clocked at a 4.85 40, 1.65 10 yard split. Great numbers across the board for you.
Hold on. By the way, both of those were second. Like, looking at the guys that went to the combine, your split and your 40 were second amongst all those guys who went there.
That's crazy.
Dude, you were balling that day.
That's crazy.
Sorry, Brian. I'm sorry.
You're good. I like that. You add a little bit of extra color there.
They saw the numbers, like, I looked up the combine and I'm like, dude, when I saw that 1.65, I'm like, that's elite for defensive tackles. Like, that's elite.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and it was just like, damn, that was really elite. Sorry. Brian, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're good. I appreciate you add that in there. But I think, you know, just looking at that, like, so just wonder where you've been working out and who you've been working out with during this pre-draft process.
I'm working at a prolific park out in Greensboro. I don't know if you know Ricky Proell. He's the receiver for the Panthers. Yes, yeah. That's his facility. But it's gotten to go by Chris Kennedy. He was my trainer there, big speed guy. So it was – he helped – quality work, and yes, he helped a lot, because I ain't never run track, you know. I barely run 40 yards, so yes, he helped a lot.
Now, it's kind of wild, like, you know, getting with those speed guys and kind of getting that. What's the difference in, like, preparing for that type of workout versus, like, something you would do in the spring?
A lot more stretching, because overall, I play D-line. We're not running too far, too fast. A lot of short distance, quick bursts. So just 40 yards is pretty far for a D-lineman. So just overall, just turning the switch on, then I have to run a little bit longer in different type of lead cycles. And different type of stride length. It's just overall just different. But the lifting part was about the same. So we did more. We didn't do as much heavy lifting. We did different types of lifting.
Nice. And again, that was Prolific Park down in Greensboro. Yes. Obviously, we got listeners down in that area. So if you got a kid, or I'm assuming they do a lot of the, oh, there's Chris Lester. Definitely check them out there. We just mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, you had your visit with the Giants. Obviously that was very, very, that was very, very public, we should say, because you put your name in, that was like Yahoo, big hit, boom, he went and saw the Giants. So if you're allowed to say, what other teams have you been in contact with? Where else have you went and visited? We know Tally's a Titans fan. I'm a Niners fan. Siegel over here is a Colts fan. I mean, we just, you know, just wondering.
Well, I'll tell you, the only team I haven't talked to was the Colts. But I've talked to Chris Ballard.
Get with it, man.
I've talked to a good amount of teams, though. It could be anywhere from like 15 to like 20-something. Like I told y'all today, I hopped on the phone with 6 or 5 different teams. So it's been – and the day before I hopped on – like, I believe the same amount, 5 to 6. So every day it's a different number. So I honestly lost count of how many teams I've talked to, but I've been blessed and got good contacts with, like, different coaches, a lot of different notes I've picked up and what could help me succeed at the next level. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to talk to those guys.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So we definitely are tracking what you're doing, tracking your career, like I'm sure all the Hokie Nation will be. Man, we got to give a huge shout out to, you know, not just you, but your whole defensive line and defense for the year, man. Y'all could have packed it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you lose that tough game to Rutgers. I mean, I think we might have gave it like 16 passing yards, something stupid. You know, we lose this game to Marshall, we already talked about. You know, we were all there at the Purdue game. We know how that went, going into a flood and tornadoes and whatever happened. Like, bro, it got weird during the beginning of the season. And it seems like guys like yourself, you know, senior leaders on the team, held the team down, got everybody focused, and got us back on track. So us being Tech fans, man, like, we really appreciate your contribution to Virginia Tech, what you've done. I mean, for real, I think we'll look back at last season and say that was the turning point in the program.
Yeah, I think that was a big emphasis on this year, just to get Virginia Tech back to where Virginia Tech's supposed to be. And I'm excited for this year, especially with that 12-team playoff. I'm very excited for them boys, and I think they're gonna do very good. I got a high hope for this team.
Yeah, I like what we got coming in. I like what everybody coming back. I mean, that's you know, those two pieces I think have been really big. And you know, we like Tally said, we appreciate you laying that groundwork and being a big part of the turnaround, because you saw how it went with Nebraska at 21. I mean, it's easy to run off, you know, games and lose ones that you feel like you should have won or could have won. And I appreciate y'all really sticking with it and playing together and really getting Virginia Tech back on the map here. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm happy to be a part of Hokie Nation. I'm just excited that everybody was welcome with open arms, and just happy to be back home and just really enjoyed it. It was great to be a part of Hokie Nation and be in Blacksburg, Virginia, and wearing that Virginia Tech.
And it's true, man. And Brian said something here just a second ago about laying the foundation. I think what you had to go through in 2022, and I think you probably laid something for the guys in that room, because you were one of the older guys in that room. You were one of those leaders. And that whole thing of at Nebraska, we lost. I got hurt. I kept working. I kept coming back. And now it's like, look where we were last year. Look where we are this year. And yourself, you know, going into 2023, you know, there is a plan out there, and we know that. But we're all human beings. We all can question things, because why did I tear my Achilles? You know, now I got to come back, and then doing what you did, you know, roughly 8 months later, you're sitting here, you're being contacted by NFL teams. They're flying you in, you're sitting in, and it's unbelievable, man, to see that. And, you know, we wish nothing but the best for you. We wish you blessings. But we got one more question to ask you.
Yes. Hold on. Before you go to that question, though, Curtis, I got to say this.
I say it.
Because we had last year. Last year we had Connor on here.
That's Shamari on.
We had Shamari on before the draft. And then look what happened. He gets drafted by the Chiefs.
Get him a ring.
Get him some starts. I'm just saying. I ain't saying that BCP is the magic touch, but we already know what's gonna happen. Everybody who listening already know what's gonna happen. So all I'm saying is, when you get rich and famous, man, just come back. That's all we ask. Come back to the spring game and just sit down with us. That's all we ask.
Hang out.
Come back.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Curtis.
All right, Brian. This is Brian's question, because he thought of this years ago. If every coach, every player that's ever come on with us, we have these couple questions.
Current, former, and otherwise. All right.
Exactly.
All right, you got to give me one go-to spot for food in Blacksburg that everybody knows about, and then give me your dark horse, the spot that you go to all the time and everybody else sleeps on.
So the go-to, I'm a big sweet guy. I've been – oh, yep. Do y'all know about Boardwalk? That might be a sleeper. I don't know.
I heard of Boardwalk.
I don't know nothing about it.
Boardwalk might be a sleeper. Boardwalk might be a sleeper.
Oh, my fault, dude. I gotta put that as my sleeper.
It might be a sleeper for us. It might not be a sleeper for folks on campus right now, but it's a sleeper for us old folks.
Oh, yeah, man.
Boardwalk BT. Yeah, I shot them out too. That's a good. I actually got the fried Oreos after me and two other of my buddies, Matt and Nate, our picture up there in there. We went there all, like, throughout the camp. Like, when we had them off days, we had to make sure it was before the off day, because when we came back, it was crazy. But it was on an off day during like, so say we had like a good training week of camp, we would go there and get them fried Oreos. It was like a must, like nice weather. The students wasn't back. It was, you know how Blacksburg is, the students not back. So
yeah,
we was out there all day. But that's my sleeper pick, I guess.
All right.
And then I had about? Another sleeper pick.
Oh, we got two sleepers here. Hold on.
Yeah, I was vegetarian for a while. So it was this one burger at what's the place beside PK's? Y'all?
Oh gosh.
Oh, hang on.
Hold on.
They make their bread in-house.
Oh, this man's serious. This man that said he came up here, he was vegan, eating vegan burgers with fresh made bread and fried donuts.
Man,
we've been asking the wrong people about food.
Yeah, I'm about to say I'm a big food guy, but I'll say I don't know the name of that place, and I feel bad because I was going there also.
Very often. That the Maroon Door?
The Maroon Door. There we go. Yes, sir. Yeah. When I was vegetarian, I used to get that mushroom burger most of my time ever.
All right. Tech.
And then the big go-to, it's like every time I'm up there, I need those PK wing bites. Like when I went up for the spring game, it was a must stop. When I went up there for a spring practice, must stop. When I went there for a pro day, must stop. Those PK wing bites. People make boneless wings, but those wing bites are, they cut them chicken thighs pretty. I don't know.
What's the go-to sauce for you?
I like that sweet chili, and a lot of guys I'd be with like the cheetah wings, but I'm a sweet chili guy.
And man,
wrap up here, can you get the way I've never seen this place? Can you get that up on screen? The boardwalk?
Oh, the boardwalk. Hang on,
because y'all, I'm look like we gonna get.
So you over there googling it?
Oh, you yes. Yes.
You gotta know what you this finna man, go up there.
Huh?
Yeah, you gotta go to the Instagram and tell them Fidari sent you. That place is.
All right, we'll do
hey,
that.
Hey, we finna talk. JC. JC Price, he done been on here too. Get all them D linemen down there to
the board
where the fried Oreos at. Because if they down there fucking up fried Oreos and then they play like he was playing when he came back. We need everybody to eat fried Oreos. Get your picture. God,
fried
dog.
Oreos, fried Twinkies, fried
funnel cake.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, calm down,
yeah, you Sandman.
Yeah, you was going to have to, you were going to have, you eating that, you going to have to play D, you going to have to play D.
Now,
Darius came in as a running back.
Now, for Darius, how many fried Oreos did you have before you ran at 485?
Oh no! I couldn't eat any. That was the treat after.
That's what's up.
That is what's up. By the way, so new place, new sweet dessert spot down in Blacksburg, the Boardwalk. That's on Draper. I get
it's right across from Benny's. Like right
there
across.
There you go.
From all right.
So if you get the pizza, the other friend get the sweets. Is
oh
the
man,
Boardwalk is
tell them
fried Oreos and a Benny's pizza, man. That's a deadly combo right there.
Hey, you sound like you at the fair. If you doing that,
that place, it got a special place in my heart. I can tell you that.
That's what's up.
It is what's up. Listen, our buddy Coach Robbie Compton, best of luck in the draft, Darius. Thank you for taking, 45 minutes, an hour out of your night to spend with us with Hokie Nation here. We'll be thinking about you over these next few days, hoping to hear that name called because you deserve it, man.
Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all, and I'm always happy to come back up here. Y'all just shoot me a text or shoot me a DM, and I'll easily come back up here.
Sounds good.
Now, if you do wind up in Nash Vegas, I'm 2 hours away.
He coming.
I'm coming. I'm just letting you know.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, Darius, for jumping on with us tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Y'all have a good one.
Do the same, yes, young man. All right, y'all. That was Darius Payne. That was awesome. Thank him so much for his time tonight. And before we kick out of here and come back with a little bit of portal, we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, Main Street Pharmacy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
See in our digital partners.
I can probably save you a lot of money, and I can take a lot better care of you. That's pretty much it. My name is Jeremy Counts, and I'm a pharmacist. I own and operate Main Street Pharmacy here in downtown Blacksburg. My brother's a pharmacist, I'm a pharmacist, my uncle's a pharmacist, my dad's a pharmacist. I remember he would give me M&Ms to count in little pill counters. This is something I've always done, and I'm just lucky that what I know so well is something that I can do and feel good about it and give back to people. Pharmacies are your frontline defense. Pharmacy's job is to make sure you're getting optimal care for the lowest price possible. Also, we take the pressure off of emergency rooms. I'll tell people immediately when they need to go to the doctor, or I'll tell them if they just need a cream over the counter. If there's something that isn't commercially available, if it's something that's not available in a certain strength or a certain form or anything like that, we'll make it. Tailor-made medications. Some of those options save people a lot of money. What motivates me? I get to take care of people and live in Blacksburg. That's all I need.
As we take a quick break, we'd like to tell you about getting your free website report from our digital partner, Grassroots Digital Marketing Studio. They'll tell you how your website ranks on Google, on-site SEO, and social media. No commitment to buy anything. You can get your free report by visiting grassrootsdigitalstudio.com/free-website-report. Now back to the episode.
All righty, and we are back. Man, I'm still looking at that menu. They do like late night, bunch of hot dogs, corn dog. Man, we're going to be in trouble next time we all go down there. We number funnel cakes and fried Oreos all day.
You know, there are worse things in life, man.
True.
Worse things in life.
True.
Right.
But again, I mean, that's why we ask these young men that question every time, because usually we always uncover something. We always uncover something cool. You know, but let's talk a little bit. You know, not going to be a long episode tonight, folks. After spring game and everything, you know, the portal opened up. And, you know, obviously right now we've got several Virginia Tech players in there. And what I wanted to kind of do just amongst us three here is just kind of the surprised or not surprised by the guys who are in there right now. anyone we think could be going in the next few days. And I'm going to do this in the order they came out in. And, Brian, I'll let you go first on this one. Tally, you follow it up. Freshman offensive lineman Gabriel Arena. He was the 6'4", 275 interior guy out of Bishop McDevitt up in Harrisburg. Brian? I mean, you pay attention more to that than anybody. So,
you know, the interior is a little crowded at the offensive line. I feel like he's the guy that was kind of falling into that bottom part of the muddle there with a couple guys, maybe even a class lower than him, that it kind of already was a step ahead of him in on the depth chart. So not a big surprise, him taking another opportunity here. So not shocked on that one.
Tally, any shock on that one?
No, kind of what Brian said, man. It's you know, you got to thank some of them guys, man. Coaching change happens. You know, the portal's big now. You bringing people in. It's like you're going to test it, you know. So wasn't really a surprise if it's crowded and you feel like you don't have a path to get on the field pretty quick. You know, I understand it.
Yeah, and then, like, to y'all's point, to Brian's point, too, it is a big room right now. I mean, we take a look at it. We got 15 guys and not recruiting this year. That's a lot of people. And yeah, you want two or three deep, but realistically, 8 to 10, you start slipping in that bottom five, you know, unless you are brand new to campus, it's probably not going to be good for you. And again, there's that opportunity. Go out, find a home for where your next one is. All right. Let's hit the next one up here that came out. Tally, I'll let you start with this one. Quarterback Dylan Whitke. Surprised? Not surprised.
I ain't trying to be mean. I'm surprised he made it that long.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, I didn't see a way for him to get on the field with the other quarterback in the room. With Pop being in the room, like, and then how they're recruiting that quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, I just didn't see a way for him to get on the field. So I would have thought he was either changing positions last year or he would have been leaving. So no surprise.
Brian. Yeah, I'm a little surprised given our current scholarship numbers. So I don't think he's the guy that we were saying, hey, if you want to go, go. But I think it's a guy that he's seeing the writing on the wall. Somebody, again, a class lower than him, pass him on the depth chart, you know, puts him at three. If he sees a path for himself getting on the field at another school, whether it's G5 or whatever it may be, you know, go do your thing and best wishes to you. So, you know, definitely, I'd say maybe a little shocked only because of the scholarship numbers.
I got you. I was surprised by this one, and I was more surprised because of the statement Brent Pry made after the spring game. He said, you know, he said, Pop's a little bit ahead, but we've got summer and we've got fall. Like almost that thing of Pop's ahead, but it's not a runaway, right? It's not like Pop's the number two guy, ain't no question about it, you know. And Dylan didn't play terrible in the spring game. Like he looked solid in the spring game. So I thought there was a part of us that probably like, you kind of want it because you want that depth room. We got Davi Belfort coming in the summer. Got Keldon Ryan already with the class of 2025 locked in. But also to Tally's point, if he didn't feel like there was a way on the field, should he have been gone in January? And that's those decisions those kids have to make. And it's always something different. But right now, only two kids on scholarship. We'll take a look and see what we've done in the portal offers in a little bit here. All right, next one. Back to Brian. Traylon Mitchell, running back. Surprised, not surprised.
I was a little surprised just because I think the spring game, I think, created a little bit of conversation as far as kind of who is the number four or five guy in that kind of pecking order at running back. But it's a little less surprising when you look at kind of what we're doing in terms of portal offers right now.
It's true.
So I think that kind of nets out and says, all right, maybe not as shocking as you think. But I thought I saw some good things from Mitchell in the spring game, but looks like he was kind of using that as a little bit of a get a little bit of tape out there for his next move there.
Tally, surprised.
Yeah, I don't want to say surprised. I'll say surprised by just his name, I guess, but not really surprised by the position. Like when you get 5-6 deep at running back, somebody's won. You know, I was more surprised with Bryke Deuce leaving last year. You know, so. Yeah. Stuff like that, but I mean, again, man, you got so many opportunities for these kids. I can't fault them for if they have a way to get on the field or get them some NIL money, you know, closer to home or at a smaller school or even a lateral school. You know, hey, go for it. So, and I think with Coach Brooks, you know, he's looking for a certain type of running back as well. You know what I mean? Like, if you start looking at some of the offers and things like that, like. And then you have a running back like Tootin that's on campus now. It's like that floor has been raised. So,
yes.
You know, can you do this? Can you do this? Because he can do this. You know, you as a running back, if you're number two or three, can you do this? Can you carry the ball this many times? Can you block? Can you, you know, so it kind of gets to that point where you ain't, because Tootin's that kind of running back where you ain't got to swap him out to do different stuff. He can do just about all
of
it.
He does everything at least a pretty good level, if not great level.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's kind of where it is with what Coach Brooks is doing, which, again, like Robbie said, y'all put Robbie's comment up, you know, because Robbie told us about him even coming out. So, when you see playmakers like that, man, in high school, you definitely want them on your roster. But, you know, we live in a new age now, man. People ain't going to sit and – you know, it's a lot of opportunities elsewhere, so I get it.
Yeah. I was surprised by this one just because the room, we only had five, even if you had another one from the portal.
You mean we didn't have 13 scholarship running backs? We didn't have
13 scholarship running back. Those days are long gone. We had the – even four is, to me, the right amount. But I think also – I mean, he didn't look bad in the spring game, but, you look at Mason, who was a true freshman. He looked good. You look at Coney, looked good. Thomas had some big catches. And I think, Tally, you just made maybe even a better point there with the running backs. Tootin is that do-it-all guy. And there is nothing to me Tootin is average in. He is an above-average blocker. He is an above-average pass caster. He can go inside. He can go outside. And add the element of the kick return. I think that you've got to have that one extra thing that you do exceptional. Mm-hmm. And with Tootin, to me, it's the explosive outside runs, and it's that kick return game where at any second, if you screw up and you miss a tackle, he gone.
Yeah. And let's talk about longevity of running backs too. Like, you got to get on the field and put some tape out there if you want to potentially take those next steps, if you want to get looked at from an NFL standpoint. So, you know, these guys need to get on the field in order to do that. Yeah. And so sometimes exposure is just as good as, you know, level of play in terms of playing, you know, what, power four or whatever we're calling it now.
Whatever it is. All right. We got a couple more to discuss here. Tally, I'll let you roll with this one. Antonio Cotman Jr., the defensive back, was primarily at safety this spring in the portal. I'm looking here. I know he got offered by UNC Charlotte. Well, maybe somebody will talk to him in a few days here. But
Yeah, definitely.
I know somebody at UNC Charlotte.
Yeah. They got Dre Bly down there now. So, yeah. They seen somebody else wearing some Charlotte stuff too. But anyway, so, yeah, man. I mean, I guess I'll say surprised. Now, I was a big Cotman fan just because I like his size. You know what I'm saying? But I do know, as far as scheme goes, you know, it's kind of tough for a kid that has that size, maybe not fast enough to play in some places, you know, but too big to play in some places, too small to play. It's kind of a different tweener position that he has to play in. So, and to be honest with you, man, like, we got a lot of people that's fighting for those positions. So, you know, I could understand somebody saying, hey, I got to go explore elsewhere as well. Cause I mean, think about our DB room, you know, think about the star position.
Yeah.
People that stepping up in those positions, which is kind of why I thought he was playing, was what would be the star position. But then, I mean, you get somebody like Caleb Woodson in there. It's like, same class, what do I do? You know what I mean? So I understand it. I really liked Cotman's size and I liked his potential. So hope he lands somewhere good.
I was not shocked, and I'll tell you a couple reasons why. Number one is that we saw, Tally was talking about there, the star position. Between Woodson coming on into last year and Gabe Williams stepping in right away and making an impact this spring, you know, that was kind of a wash. You know, got moved back to safety for the spring. Definitely some competition there, but what kind of told me that he might not be sticking out pretty good in that position was when we saw a whole lot of Tyler Childress early in the spring game and not a whole lot of Antonio Cotman. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a flag for me that, all right, maybe this isn't quite going the way I think we wanted it to go, that he wanted it to go. So it doesn't surprise me that he's making that move.
Yeah, we ain't going to put my man Childress down too much, but Childress, you're going to have to get you some cleats to stick in the ground, my boy. Because you was, hey, if you playing football and you see your feet in the air, that ain't good. Never. And we definitely seeing your feet in the air. So, Childress, hey, we like how you out there playing hard, my boy, but PJ put a move on you.
Yes, he did. I'm going to kind of go with what 1872's got here. It is tough to see anybody leave, mm-hmm. but I can understand Cotman leaving, because if we take a look at how that safety room and how, like Tally, you mentioned the star position, right?
Yeah.
Those kind of all, Gabe stepping up big, Quentin Reddish looking like he's going to be something big, right? Phillips being big. Phillips, same class as Cotman. And Phillips is already out there playing last year.
Right.
Reddish looking like he can play day one. So I get it, because if they continue recruiting at that level with the safety room, safety is one of those positions, right, that if you've got that little bit of size and you got a little dog in you, you can play early. And I think that's kind of what it was in that case. All right, we got one more guy to discuss here, and that is the linebacker out of Appomattox, Tavorian Copeland. Brian, I know – go ahead, because I think you were a little surprised by this and a little bit maybe a little bit downtrodden on Copeland leaving.
Yeah, this is probably the one that shocked me the most, to be honest with you. Just, yeah, I thought he had a lot of promise. I thought it was a position where we've got some older guys that, you know, in whether this year or next year, probably going to kind of age out, whether it's you know, heading to the NFL or graduating. I thought he was going to maybe have an opportunity at that point. But I also didn't see a ton of him in the spring game where anything stood out to me. So that was a little bit of a concern there as well. But I liked his potential a lot. I thought he had a high ceiling. I think he was still pretty raw, but he had a high ceiling. So this one kind of disappointed me a little bit because I wanted to see kind of where that went.
Callie, anything on Copeland? Surprised, not surprised?
I won't say surprised just because I keep – again, man, I'm always looking at – length and size when you start talking about, you know, where the team is going. So when you see this team getting bigger, you know, he was 6'3", but, you know, 192. This is his second year, right?
Yeah,
going into a second year. So, you know, of course, I know you can't just pack on pounds like crazy like that because you're running around unless you're old and you're just sitting on the couch. You know what I'm saying?
We can do it.
But I can manage you pretty good, man.
Quickly.
Yeah, but as far as like, you know, his size, you know, coming out with the official size and weights, he's still at like 192, something like that. Playing linebacker, you know, I was like, you know. So I just in that aspect, because I don't I don't know what he did on the field, but I'm just saying in that aspect, I kind of could see it because of his size.
Yeah, the size is one point, and again, there was a reason Caleb Woodson moved over and started playing some inside backer, not just star. And Caleb, to your point, Tally, Caleb does have that size. Caleb's same height as Tavorian Copeland, but Caleb's already up like 225.
Yeah.
He's already there mass. He's getting there mass wise.
They're built different, man.
Yeah, you've
seen him.
Yeah. And the whole thing about 6'3", 195, could you still play collegiate football? Yeah, but you're probably not gonna play linebacker. Are you fast enough for safety? Do you have enough wiggle to do maybe star? And again, if the guys can't adjust to another position, where it's always going to be if you've got to go find a place that you can fit, find a place to get your education and things like that. So, you know, I don't think any were like jaw droppers, but there was a couple like they were still young, wish they could have stayed. All righty. So we just said right there, that was five, right? Mm-hmm. Try to count five. Anybody out there you think maybe come in, because it is exactly 1 week from today is when your name has to be in the portal for the to effectively go elsewhere for the fall season. I'm gonna do some names here real quick just so y'all can know. These are redshirt seniors. Sam Brumfield, he ain't going anywhere. APR ain't going anywhere. CJ McCray's a wild card with that leg injury. What is CJ deciding to do?
Right, you can't go nowhere where you hurt.
He can't go anywhere, but could he call it a career? Could he say I'm gonna hang it up? Because your leg's injured, you're gonna have to rehab. Caden Moore, then you've got Parker Clements, Bob Schick, and Wilford Panay, who's on the defensive line. Anybody y'all could see leaving? Any younger guys y'all could think leaving? You know, I see on here, what about a Devin Alvis? Saw him in a spring game?
Yeah. Somebody like Alvis I could see, you know, just because, like I said, it's so much competition in those rooms. You know, I could see one of those young guys finding somewhere else to thrive, but – I mean, you never know. Are we at the scholarship limit yet? Like we're below by three.
We got three spots.
We got three spots we can give. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ramon Brown time, right? Yeah. Is that what time it is?
Well, let's see, Brian. You got it. You get it up here for us.
Yeah. Let's take a look here.
we got some offers out there. Ramon Brown, we know, is offered.
This is courtesy of Colby Crawford.
With shout out
24/7.
Colby is doing hard, man. God's work keeping this list together. Y'all don't. I go check it 4 times a day. Did Colby get an update? Somebody got offered. First of all, just because he made this announcement yesterday, the ones in red basically have ruled out Tech.
Yeah, they're either committed or they've already let Tech know they are not coming here, which in this case is just Chambly.
It's just Chambly.
Yeah. Everybody else has already had some sort of formal commitment out there. Hayden to Colorado, and then Greedy Vance Jr. to USC.
All right. We kind of talked about it last week, and now we're seeing it here. And we got 3 spots. Y'all take a look at this. If you're out there listening tonight, who are your 3? So if y'all want to put it in the chat, we'll put it up here. But I'm gonna go with – which one of y'all are really ready?
Anybody who can play offensive line, we need one. I've never watched any tape on Christopher Adams, but it says he's an offensive tackle. Can you come in and push somebody to play better? That's all I'm asking.
All right, so that's consensus then. We all believe the offensive line.
Yes.
Consensus. Brian, consensus?
Yes. So if you want me to give 3, I can give 3 right now.
All right. Well, we know offensive line's 1, so who are your other 2?
All right, so we got – if I had to pick 3 names off this list, give me Adams, give me Caleb Spencer, and give me a pick'em between Ramon Brown or Penny Boone. Boone, more immediate upside. I think Brown has more eligibility, so it's just kind of a pick your poison with that.
All right. Tally, we know Chris Adams. Go ahead, write it on.
Yeah, so Chris Adams, we'll say Chris Adams, just because I see it, you know, offensive tackle. I'm going to say Ramon Brown. He's visited too much for them to have ruled him out or him not to be coming. He's still been visiting. I think he just came up for the spring game, so hell, he might. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to say Ramon Brown. I feel like I'm still salty because we lost that recruiting battle and he went to Maryland. So just for my own selfish reasons, give me him. And, I mean, safety-wise, man, just any – hell, the LSU safety, you know, I'll take him. You know, I would say Caleb Spencer, but he comes from that private school there in Virginia, and I don't think that they're real high on – like, that's where Cotman came from. So, I think he's the only kid – yeah, I think he's the only kid that we got from them. So, I don't see that working out for us. I'll take him, but I just don't see it working out. So,
All right. I'm not far behind y'all. With Adams is definite. You know, get him in here. And in totality, to your point, regardless what the tape says, make it say something, make a statement to make other people play better. Like, he's coming. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. You want your job? Beat him out. And the next one, I'm with y'all. It's got to be a running back. To me, it's got to be Ramon. If they offer another one in the next few days here, that's great. Let's do it. Just because with Penny Boone, it's, you know, unless you tell me Malachi Thomas is leaving, which if that happens yet, pull the trigger on Penny Boone real quick. Cause you need your 1B there, or your 2. The last one I'm a little torn about. Because, yes, do we need safety help? Absolutely. Right now it's Stroman Phillips. Where's Quentin at? But I keep leaning because they made – there's 2 offers out there, the kid from Arkansas State and the kid from Yale. I think with CJ going down – and I know I mentioned they obviously we saw a little stuff from Jason Abbey. We saw a little stuff from James Jeanette, right? I think they don't feel completely comfortable with a 4th defensive end. So for me, give me a defensive end because if we're rushing the passer, we may not need the best back end play. So I'll take just because his name's Larry. Give me Ezekiel.
So I'm kind of with you on that a little bit, but you still got to have safety help in the run game. So that's going to be important too. But don't sleep on maybe Dyani Hill being that kind of nickel safety hybrid that we saw that our buddy David Cunningham mentioned last time he was on there, that Tay Daly type that could maybe come in and kind of play that like a little bit of swing nickel and safety and be that type of player. So that might be the option that kind of shores up nickel, shores up safety, all in one player. And that might be something that we go if we're trying to go that route to help with the nickel position as well.
Yeah. Here's a question for Curtis right quick.
Yeah.
Because we've talked a lot, and I don't think none of us have said it, so I know you're the more analytical one. We know who Kyron Drones is. Mm-hmm. And we know who Pop Watson is.
You testify. I know what you're about to say.
Who else is in the quarterback room?
That's true. And we did offer the kid from UCLA who played last year.
Right. So I was about to say, do we got to get a quarterback, Curtis? What are we doing?
Well, if you want to play, I think what they have to do in that situation is they have to feel where Pop is. Can Pop manage the game? Is the defense good enough? Is the running game good enough? Where can Pop manage? If it's where now he's not there to manage yet, maybe you take the kid, but it's also convincing this guy who played last year. Go look at his numbers. He didn't have terrible numbers at UCLA. Solid numbers. Convincing him, you number two.
Bad best.
At best. You might be three, but we need you.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, you know, it's not just can Pop manage the game. We know how Pop plays the game, right? So you get Pop in there, he's still a slightly undersized quarterback from a Power Five perspective, and we know how he plays the game. You know, you're one rush, you're one scramble away from having to get, you know, either a Davi in there or, you know, a walk on in there. So that's a pretty rough situation to be in. So I mean, I could see us going that route. You're walking a little bit of a fine line though, because you got to bring in a guy that is comfortable with that position, knowing that barring something significant happen, Pop's got the keys whenever Kyron moves on.
It's true. All right. I have not seen this. So did something happen? Somebody, Brian, throwing out here?
I haven't seen an offer that we've offered him, but I know he's in the portal. So right, which, I think
what's that kid's name?
Tom Owens. I don't know who it is.
Is it Zach Owens. All right. Yeah. No list yet. Now I know a lot of times Colby's working throughout the day and he drops it later in the evening. So that's why I'm going defensive end right there. Cause if Cole Nelson or God forbid APR goes down, I mean, defensive end is not looking great. So again, I mean, we can look at the kid from Georgia Tech, from Baltimore.
Yeah.
We know Peebles is gone next year, right? We know Fuga's gone next year. What's so interesting about this is there's so many intriguing offers where we could literally go through this list and be like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense for this year and next year. That makes sense for the next 3 years. That makes sense for the next 2 years. So, again, they're being selective, but I think we stick here and say, hold on, I'm going to put this up real quick. Y'all agree with that?
Yep.
I agree.
No comment.
Nope.
No comment. I got a comment. So, yes, I do agree with it, you know, and as much shit as I give Grant Wells, I definitely am – y'all know how I feel about the situation – I can't really say that because, man, we were winning those games so handily, man. And he did sacrifice a lot for the team, man. He came to a ship that was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So if they felt the need to get him in, man, to get him some, you know, to finish out his college career, like, I ain't mad at it. Now, I do understand what Train is saying, you know, looking to the future. That would have helped for Pop to get those snaps. But at the same time, I do understand. I think this coaching staff has a little bit of a human element. So, you know, to get him in there and give him some burn. I can't be mad at him because of that. Hell, he almost scored a 70-yard touchdown if he wouldn't have failed.
So close. So close.
So close. You know?
And to Curtis's point, I mean, I think right now a lot of this is dependent on what the recovery timetable is going to be like for CJ McCray, right?
So, yeah, definitely.
You know, we think a broken leg, you think, you know, 6 to 8 weeks probably in terms of healing. You're probably adding another, you know, 4 to 6 in rehab. So we're probably talking about sometime
right before
we're talking about right before camp, right into camp, before you're even starting to get into any sort of actual recovery outside of just, you know, your typical rehab. So is a month going to be enough time to gear him up? I think if his timetable is he can be full go by end of September, defensive end is probably less of an issue, because you probably aren't going to, fingers crossed, hit a major injury that's going to impact you depth-wise that quick. But if his timetable is something more like mid to late October, yeah, go get you a defensive end.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, just so it's just Thomas, we take care of you here, man.
Oh, no, Thomas, you all good, man. That's a good comment.
Is a good comment. But I'm going to tell y'all what not to do. If you want to waste your time, don't do it. If you want to waste time, do it. Get on three and do that transfer portal page and just start clicking and just seeing, like, I mean, there is a just announced a few minutes ago, a freshman safety out of Kentucky is entering the portal. Kid basically went up on rankings, and I don't know if he played last year or not. Like, you talking about rabbit hole stuff. Let me go to offensive tackle now. Guy from Dion's kicking a guy out. Looks like he's going to Syracuse.
Man, what the fuck do Dion got going on, man? It's too Hollywood for me, man. Like I said, even at the start, no shade to Dion. Everybody was all on the Dion train. You know, I'm going to just speak from my perspective down here where I'm at. Like, I seen Alabama fans going and buying Colorado stuff. And I was like, yeah, Dion is cool. You know, I understand, like, we grew up watching Dion and he's flashy and stuff like that. But when you become a coach or when you get in certain positions, man, you got to – I just feel like he kind of doomed himself from the beginning because of the way that he talked and some of the stuff he said. So – when you hit rough patches in your season, like, I ain't going to feel bad for you. Now you got kids transferring out. Like, when you first got there, you told kids, oh, y'all need to jump in the portal because I'm bringing my own bags. And they Louie. And it's man, you just got to have some kind of tact when you're coaching. So, again, Dion can do it his way. But if you do it your way like that, you got to win. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Well, the other part I want to ask is this, because both of y'all playing the game at high levels, especially on the lines. You keep turning – can there be any continuity? I mean
– It's tough, man.
For both of y'all, because Tally, you played on – you know, you weren't a lineman, but you played at tight end. I mean, you always talk about your buddy. You knew when he was going to screw up.
Yeah.
Like, you knew when he was going to screw up. At least you could say, well, I got to at least give the best chip of my life to maybe save him. How tough is that?
Like, it's tough, man. You can take 5 5 stars and put them on a line, and they still can struggle. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a given that you just go and recruit these guys and they're going to come in and produce for you. Like, especially at offensive line, like, offensive linemen a lot of times are, like, some of the smartest guys on the team, man. They got a lot of stuff, especially at, like, your center position, calling different plays out. You know, you got to know where everybody is. And then the continuity, knowing how fast this guy is going to pull. So I got to be able to take this step or not take this step for him to have his spots, you know, just different things like that, that you just don't get when you continually switch up and you continuously changing and things like that. So what's been our problem? You know, you got different coaches coming in and then you got different players. You can't stay with the same 5 linemen. Like, that's going to be a problem for him because Shadur's a talent, man. Like, yeah. Shadur's really good, but as we seen last year, if you ain't got no line, they're going to get him killed. So who are you putting in front of him?
Yep.
And, you know, then when people are leaving and you got different things going on, I just feel like they're getting too involved with the Hollywood side of it. And all we need this, or, you know, if you don't want to be here, leave. And, you know, you got the players talking about it and things like that. I just feel like, man, y'all got to go win. Y'all got to quit getting caught up in that hype.
And that thing started blowing up a little bit with McClain kind of putting them on blast a little bit. And I know corner is different than offensive line. There's a whole lot more that goes into, like, you can put a corner out on the island and say, go out there, you cover the best guy, and you bring somebody else in that can do that, and you don't miss too much of a beat as long as you're talent-wise about at the same level. Offensive line, I mean, it takes so much development, and it takes so much of continuity across the different positions and working with the same group and working with the right combination of talents and things like that. There's so much that you can't just go in there and tinker with multiple positions every year on that line and think you're just going to put five out there that you can bring in every year and it's going to work every time. You can do it. I mean, but you're kind of catching lightning in a bottle a little bit. I mean, we think about like Duke a couple years ago when they brought in four or five G5 linemen and a couple FCS linemen, and they ended up gelling pretty quick and things worked out for them and they were able to kind of turn their season around. It still wasn't the best line out there, but compared to what they had before, they did a good job of repairing that offensive line in the transfer portal. But that's kind of the exception to the rule. Usually it's like a one piecer, right? You bring in one guy to fill in the big hole you have that can kind of work with everybody else that's already there. And I think, you know, that's where he's getting into trouble, is that some of these positions you can just bring in the best guy and it works. Wide receivers like that, quarterbacks like that, cornerbacks like that. I'd say probably even defensive end is like that, but not all these positions can you just bring in a guy and expect that to work time in, time out.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there. Hit it and kind of reiterate to or reemphasizing both of y'all here is Robbie. But as far as the Hokies go, hopefully in the next few days we get to see a few portal ads, see a few portal, maybe a couple more leaving, maybe a few guys saying they're done.
Yeah, let's get a couple greens squares.
Yeah, there you go. You want the green from Colby. He'll get up. And again, or, you know, be like me. Just go down the rabbit hole of On3 transfer portal and say, let's get that kid.
And then put it in an email to Pry and be like, hey.
Yes.
And the crazy thing about Curtis is he don't have time to do this.
I don't.
Like, he don't got time to be going on there and going down this rabbit hole because he got so much stuff to do. Work, kids, more kids, dog, wife. Like, you got all this stuff to do, and then you go down a rabbit hole, and then you're sending us stuff. We definitely ain't got time to go down it, so we just got to get on the phone and ask you what's going on.
Well, it happens. You get little breaks. You get little pockets, and you're looking at it, and that's the rabbit hole. Or it's 10:30 at night, and it's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I have avoided it, though. I have been good to avoid it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, going back to the Zach Owens thing, man, he put out earlier – looks like 5 hours ago, he's been contacted by 35 schools. We are one of them. I don't know if that means that we have officially put an offer out there or anything like that.
He ain't coming here.
Everywhere from Colorado to Oklahoma. Of course.
Well, Auburn. Didn't Colorado just sign an offensive tackle? They going to put him in the portal and take this kid instead?
Maybe. Hey, we got
to
get this.
And he's listed everything. He got G5s out there all the way up to, like I said, Oklahoma and –
yeah, we need this Virginia bill to go ahead and kick in so we can pay for us to get a
I think we can float it at this point. We can float it at this point.
Yeah, let's do some.
What is it? It's retroactive.
On July 1st, you will get your money.
We're going to throw fried Oreos in all till that time comes. So, shoot, we done found a place with fried Oreos.
That's a big boy, though. 6'6", 375. That's a tank, man.
I don't know if that'd work what we do. But you probably look at the tape, he probably like 5.0 speed at 375. And I think other downhill. All right. What else has happened this evening, boys? Went an hour and 19.
I don't think nothing, man.
All righty. Well, let's wrap it up again. We're wrapping up this. Jesus Christ, I can't talk right now.
Which one are you doing?
I'm doing them all, man. That's going to wrap up this episode of the Boundary Corner Podcast, brought to you by Main Street Pharmacy in Blacksburg. I'm Curtis Wilson.
I'm Brian Siegler.
Jonathan Talley.
Check out BoundaryCornerVT.com for all the episodes, merchandise shop. Check us out. We're out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff there as well. All the podcast sources you can think of, we are on them all. As I told somebody at work the other day, we're on them all. You click one, you'll find us. As always, Jason Long plays in, plays out. Check out jasonlongmusic.com. Check out his live events down in the NRV. Also, links to all of his places on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook. We thank you all for listening tonight. And a special shout out again, P-Squared, the Major Payne, Fladarius Payne, for giving his time for the interview. And as always, boys, let's go.
Okies. Okies.